From deep inside the Death Star, I'm Chad Beter.
And I'm Andrew Richards.
And welcome to Defrag Tools, the show that takes you inside Windows and inside Microsoft. And we were talking last week about Dependency Walker, which is sort of a tool that tells you what DLLs an executable or a DLL depends on.
Yep.
And now we're going to talk about something sort of related with DLLs.
Yeah, so obviously if you have these programs you want to release, Dependency Walker is a great way of working out what DLLs actually are required, and then you want to shove them in an install package, an MSI. And so there's lots of tools to do this. There's Install Shield's the one that's held the market for a good couple of decades.
Right.
And then there's Wix, W-I-X, which is a XML-based way of describing it, and it's what Microsoft heavily uses these days, and it's part of Visual Studio, so you can get it to automatically work out all your dependencies and stuff like that.
Right.
One of the things you can do is go in and look at an MSI. There's a viewer called Orca, and I think we've mentioned it in passing as Orca.msi has been in some of the folders where we've got other tools where we've picked them up from. Mm-hmm. It's not installed by default because not that many people need to write MSIs or author MSIs.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the tool you use to design the dialogues and all that type of stuff. Now, as I said, traditionally you'd use these bigger programs like Install Shield and Wix and stuff to actually design the whole thing and get it to write it. But it's kind of interesting to go behind the scenes and see, hey, what's actually in an MSI, which is actually a database.
Mm-hmm.
It's a database format file.
So I can use this on any MSI and just see what's in there.
Yeah, and it's more than that. It's also MSPs, which is a patch. So there's MSI is Microsoft Installer, so .msi. MSP is Microsoft Patch, so it's patching an MSI that's already installed.
Mm-hmm.
And the last one is an MST, a transform, which some people may or may not be familiar with, particularly in the IT space, where what you do is you apply, a template. You can change the values in an MSI, and so like the defaults are changed. So you can say, instead of installing to say program files, blah, 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 you can say install to D colon, something instead, right?
Oh, okay.
And so you can change the defaults with the transform. So where do you get this from? Walker's been available for a long time. It's if you look in nearly all the SDKs from 7, Vista, 8, all those, you'll see an Orca.msi in the folder. In the Windows 8 and 10, or 8.1 and 10 SDKs, it's actually an option as part of the installer. So we'll just kind of jump into that and do it that way. So Windows SDK 10, and I think that's it. And then we'll download it. And this is how we got the debugger and Windows Performance Toolkit and Application Verifier. And we might just kind of do the same thing, but change the selection. So I'm just going to choose our My folder where we've been dumping stuff.
Right.
And put it there. So we did this before and we ended up with files in this folder, but then I deleted them. And also we didn't choose this option. So yes, do the thing. And now traditionally we would choose the Performance Toolkit, Debugging Tools, NAT Verifier, and we would deselect all these other ones.
Yeah.
Well, today we're actually going to go the other way. We're going to actually choose MSI tools.
Okay.
I think at some point we'll do Application Certification Kit as well. So it's kind of an interesting tool just to verify applications and whether they're doing the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
The last two in here, .NET and Windows SDK, that's all about writing applications, very developer focused.
Mm-hmm.
So let's do that. It's a whopping 4 megabytes.
Not too bad.
And much like you get with debugging tools for Windows and Application Verifier and those, we're just going to end up with some MSIs, ironically, on the hard drive, and we'll be able to install that. So let's navigate to that while I'm waiting for the download. And you can see there's a setup program downloading, and at some point we are done. And so now we have the installers folder, and then here is Orca. So I'm just going to grab that. MSI development tools. So a lot of these things the kit has this very fragmented view of the world. Mm-hmm. Normally with some project, you'd have like one MSI, one cab, and that's just everything. And that's really the way you should be approaching thinking about MSIs. Don't think of it about the way that the Windows kits does it. The Windows kit actually is like 20 programs put together. So you get this fragmented view. Mm-hmm. But here's Orca. And just for the sake of consistency of the past, keep it around. So you might have noticed an edit point there. I had an install running in the background and I had to wait for that to complete. This is going to complain because I haven't got the right file. And this is a good chance to explain how MSIs work. Sometimes MSIs have the files that they're going to deliver inside the MSI. Mm-hmm. And that's particularly the way that it works for the debugging tools for Windows and those other ones. Mm-hmm. And if you look at those, you'll see that their file sizes are quite big.
Yeah, self-contained.
Where if we go back to the Orca one, it's actually going to be quite small. And this is just trying to make a restore point. But it's going to complain that the cab that has the files is missing. So as I said, you can put the files inside the MSI, or you can have that compressed storage in a separate cab. So in this case, we also need cab 8380. There it is. So we also need cab 8380. And then this time, it will work.
No,
it and we need A one. As well.
A35.
Now I could just run it from this folder. That would be way easier.
It needs a lot of them. F38. That was only 15K.
So and there we go.
Not big.
That's the dependencies. Mm-hmm. So that's installed Orca. Orca will install into program files, so x86 Orca. And then we have orca.exe. So, loading. Once again, kind of old looking tool, much like Dependency Walker and a couple of other things we've looked at, WinDiff.
Because it's an old tool.
Just mentally, the way you can approach this is think of it as a relational database.
Okay.
It is tables and rows and columns and stuff like that. So let's open Orca itself. Let's see. You know, we saw it doing all those things. So that's
those dependencies with the cab files.
Yes. Yeah, so let's open that up. And so you can see all the concepts on the left there. So there is at top level, there's the concept of a feature. And so let's say that it's Word or something like that, or Office. Mm. Office might use Word, Excel, each one of them individually as a feature,
uh-huh.
Right? And then within a feature, you have components. So there might be all the DLLs associated with autocorrect, all the ones associated with WYSIWYG and stuff like that. And components may be shared across features. So, you know, Word and Excel, as you choose them as a feature, mm. may share the spell checking component or the autocorrect component.
Right.
And so you separate your things up like that. At the top level, there's the app, and you can see a summary view. This says, you know, it is called Orca, authors blah, and then here's the package code. This is the code that is realistically driving the problem programs and features view. So each one of those problems is this name here,
okay.
Right? And the name actually here actually will be, so there's Orca, right? So Orca Microsoft Corp. So this is where that type of information is coming from.
Mm-hmm.
As you can see, there's platform, so you can say, you know, architecture. This is 1033, which is English, mm-hmm. or English US, I think it is.
Mm-hmm.
Stuff like that. It has file names that are in long file name rather than short file name. It is using compressed files rather than uncompressed files.
Right.
And stuff like that. So that's the overall thing. And then within this, there's features. this only has one feature, the Orca feature. And then for that feature, it has these components. Now, I think from just based on the name, see how it's got FE and CR and stuff on it, this looks like it's a Wix-based MSI. Wix has this FE and SCR prefix on the things it makes. These things are just random, well, not random, but up to the user to define. It looks like they've decided to use GUIDs as their uniqueness generator, but there's no reason why you couldn't call it, you know, feature FE01, FE02, FE03, or actually just give it names, right? Okay. A feature has components. There are lots and lots of components. So you can see that, for example, this component is installing into the program menu folder. And so there's a whole lot of these predefined words. They're in the MSI vernacular or dictionary, and they have direct relationships. So like program files will relate to, you know, C colon program space files.
Right.
Program menu folder will be roughly the start menu and stuff like that. And so by installing this component, you know, you can see that the name on the left, the F99, actually matches the GUID. It matches it. It's going to install a component into there. Within that, you can see sometimes there is registry key based association. So this component is associated with this registry key, and this component is associated with this file.
Oh, right? I see.
And so when you roll out something, you populate the registry keys and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And I think, let's see if actually what registry keys we've got. And so you can see that we're going to install all these helpers like MSI shell. So we've actually made a class namespace. Mm-hmm. And if you have an MSI, I'm thinking now we should have a context menu that actually runs that thing.
Yeah, it looks like it.
And it will have edit with Orca will be the friendly name in the right mouse button click will be edit with Orca with a ampersand means that the E is the accelerator, is that the word for it?
Yeah.
And then this is the command. Now, you'll notice that there's some square brackets here. The engine's going to expand that and put in the real value. So even though it may by default be said to go to C program files, for example, and this one actually didn't have a UI to interact with it. Mm-hmm. But you remember, I mean, a good 5-10 years ago, it was very common to get that one where you chose the components in a checklist, or the features, I should say, and then you can change the folder.
Yeah.
And so that would flow through to here.
Right.
So if we find a MSI, for example, the one we just had, let's go to debugging tools, right click, and we now have edit with Orca.
Right.
So that's how
it's added that registry key.
Yeah. And the same thing goes with obviously files, what files we're going to put down. So here's all the files. Mm-hmm. And there should be, I think it's under, it's under the component defines the file. You can see that these actually have the full name, like this is the catalog file, which is the digital signature file. Mm-hmm. It has the long file name, and I think that this looks like a short file name way of seeing it as well. Mm. I'm not sure what that is, but I think it is a short file name versus a long file name. There's particular things like the icon file. It's very common for an icon file to be dumped on disk so that when you're in programming features, you get an icon here. Now, this hasn't done it. It hasn't associated that file on disk with this package to draw an icon here, but that's how that works. Now, I can go on and on. It's just a massive tree of things, directories, the Orca root is in program files, and then something, if there was a subdirectory, it would have Orca root over here as the parent, and so be it. Mm-hmm. So when you have a transform, what does that mean and how does that apply? So normally, as you saw here, we installed it, there was no UI, so we can never change the folder, but you might not want it to be in C program files.
Yeah, maybe I want it on my D drive or something.
Perfect example, and it's a really good example where a low use thing you don't want to be chewing up your SSD space.
Right.
Right. And so there is a thing called the property table, and this is what the transforms affect. And so by default, These are the constants that are driving a lot of these decisions, and these will be expanded. And under, I think it's, even though it's not listed here, I think you can add a record and say, please change the program folder, and you can override what this default is. Mm. And there's a whole lot of, you can make a new transform, apply it, and so you can make other files and design it so these two work together and do this type of thing.
So we could actually create like an MST file for Orca.
Yep, you go file, new, MST, and type in all the things you want to override. And so you could say, hey, my program files folder is now going to default to /d:\ files.
And then if that MST is present, it just automatically uses it?
No, I think from memory, when you run MSI execute, I think it actually might be on the command line. I haven't done this for years. I'm trying to remember it. So this is the program that you can use to install an MSI, and roughly when you double click it, that's all you're achieving.
It runs this.
And so you specify the package, which must, much like we saw, it's got a package ID and stuff like that. It's going to be the MSI file. Mm-hmm. And then you can specify a transform right here, the transform list.
Okay, so you could do it.
Yeah, and I think you can do it both as text here and also as a transform file. You can actually supply an MST, or you can actually can in one way or the other do that. Mm. Actually, this is a good chance to point out voice warm-up. Do you remember? Have you?
It rings a vague bell, yes.
Yeah, so voice warm-up, we've kind of covered what MSI is. If you want to investigate things, you can look at the parent folders, where it's going to default to, and then you can make transforms and do that. Mm-hmm. What do you do when something goes wrong? Now, we were lucky that when we're running the Orca thing, it was popping up dialogues and telling us what was wrong.
Yeah, they were pretty obvious what the problem was.
Yeah, and so what we could have done is turn on logging, and we can do it this way. Which is for each letter, there's a meaning. So like V is verbose, and O is out of disk, and whatever they are. Now, it just so happens that all these letters, I'm pretty sure there's no luck to this, spell the word voice warm-up if you have them all. Maybe they did do them randomly, and they shoved it into a some website to give anagrams or something.
Yeah.
Voice warm-up is the key. So instead of doing it here, you can specify in a registry key. And every time I search for this, you always tend to get like a very Windows XP type page. And there we go, voice warm-up. And so what you can do is you can set this registry key in the Windows install the thing and say, now here's the example, make a key called logging, warm up, and it looks like there's an X these days has been added. So voice warm up X is everything. Debug level has increased. So this is someone's user content, so thank you for kind of increasing this. Anyway, so what happens is when you do it, the logging will turn on, and then you'll end up with this MSI temporary file name .log file. And you can watch it. And so as it's going through its phases, and that's probably the last thing I'll show with this without going into too much detail, there's a thing called the sequencing. And so you know how sometimes you run something and it says you don't have enough hard drive space and stuff like that? Well, there's all these things. So like cost initialize says, based on all the components I have and what's already stored on the hard drive already, because these things can bridge across MSIs, these shared components. You already say, hey, the Visual C runtime is already there and all these other things. And also, the last thing I missed was MSMs, and so Microsoft Merge Modules. So the Visual C runtime can be put inside your MSI, and as an individual entity in its own right, it can be installed as a dependency automatically if it's missing. Right. Now, a lot of games do this for DirectX. Mm-hmm. You may have seen the DirectX installer pop up, and so that's actually from an MSM that's been merged in a merge module. Mm-hmm. So cost initialize works out, what's already installed, where are we? File cost does the final cost, and then cost finalize will actually pop the dialog saying you don't have enough space on your box.
And this is and like then kilobytes here?
This is the sequence.
This is the sequence.
Yeah.
Here. Oh, okay.
So it's traditional.
What order they go in?
Yeah, it's traditional that you write them in increments of 100.
Oh, okay.
But some sequences, and this is a very basic one, I've seen ones which have had 30, 40 sequences.
Mm.
So like if you're installing something like, Exchange or some massive thing, you'll see tons and tons of in the sequence.
Nice.
One of the things that you can do is called a custom action. And actually, this does actually have some custom actions. So you actually can run custom code. So when you get to the certain points and you're not just laying down files and registry keys, and let's say that you need to set a very specific ACL on a folder or something like that, or something more complex than that, make a user or configure a website. Or all those type of things, make a new database instance in SQL Server, all these complex things. You can write it as a custom action. It will pull the DLL out of the MSI where you write the code, put it on the disk, run the function, and then when it's complete, it will delete the DLL. And so it's like this temporary thought process.
Hmm.
And so there's custom actions to run at commit when it's happening, to run at rollback. So let's say, disk 37 was missing, right?
Right.
The old school way.
Yeah.
It'll run the rollback things, much like when you do uninstall. So when you go to programs and things and go right-click uninstall, it's going to run the actions associated with that. Same thing goes with repair, all these different actions. So all these have a different sequence. So there's the there's a sequencing and stuff like that.
And people don't tend to just write this by hand.
Right?
It's much too complex. So this is where the Wix or the Install Shield kind of help create these. But this is a way to kind of dive in and see what it actually created, right?
Definitely. It's more of a viewing tool. Mm-hmm. Kind of think of it like Presses Explorer and stuff like that. More about just, hey, I'm a bit more interested in the guts of how this happened.
Mm-hmm.
And if you, particularly with a non-UI based one, which is, this hasn't got a dialogue table, but if it had a dialogue table, that's all the screens, which you can do. And that's where you get all the nice, the banner at the top, which might have, a scene from the game or something,
right.
All that stuff. That's where you draw all that stuff. This actually doesn't have dialogues. So that's where you can control all that type of stuff.
Right.
And this is how you edit those things. So if you might want to tweak those, or as I said, when you're doing transforms, you might want to just look at the properties and say, hey, I want to change this to this and stuff like that. That's Wix. And then voice warm-up we did, you get MSI log. And so what you'll see is it will go through those sequences and you'll say, hey, I've done the cost sequence, and it will say quite clearly what it is. And you can see how far you got up to and make adjustments from there. So that's Orca. Orca's, as I said, it's one of those, much like Depends and a couple other tools out there. It's good to know it exists.
Yeah.
You're not exactly going to be diving into it every day. I haven't opened Orca for about 7 or 8 years now. I was doing some really complex MSI stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Install Shield and Wix both have a limit of about 10,000 files, and I needed to deploy about 100 and something thousand files.
Wow.
And so I had to write my own. The MSI format supports, but those tools.
The tools.
Had like a 64K limit or something.
Maybe they're bigger now.
Maybe. But it's like 10 years ago. But so I wrote my. So this is all automatable. So Orca is a viewer on top of the MSI language. There is a full MSI API set. So you can write a program that opens up an MSI file, does the very SQL-like, insert, delete, update, row type semantics, add table, stuff like that. And you can go and modify them all and do it. Well, one thing I didn't point out, and I probably should have, is it on the path now? Yeah, it is. Come on.
Yeah, it's probably going to load.
Thinking, is you can do Windows, you can do, you can do under here somewhere. Validate. Yeah.
Validate.
So you actually can run the Windows logo tests against it, and so there's rules that say, you can't have C program files hard coded. You must use program files. Keyword and stuff like that.
Right.
So the Windows logo tests. That's how you run them. So if you've got a situation where You know, you've been tweaking an MSI. Say you got something automatically built and you're tweaking it and trying to work out whether it's still going to be legal. That's what Validate's for.
Yeah, very cool.
Cool.
Very
so cool. As I said,
Orca.
Orca.
What does it stand for? Do we know?
I think it stands for the whale.
No. Okay.
It's got a whale logo. So
we love orcas here.
I don't know. Well, maybe the help says it.
That's a good. Yeah.
It does have quite a good CHM file.
I assumed it was like an acronym, but it doesn't. No, it just says Orca.
It's just
Who
Orca.
Who knows? Orca. All right.
So, yeah.
Great.
All about a goodie.
Awesome.
All right.
All right. Well, that's our show for this week. As always, if you have questions or comments, put them in the show notes down there or email us at defragtools@microsoft.com. And we'll see you next week. Thanks for watching.
See you next week.